Okay, good morning. We begin chapter 19 of Sefer Shoftim this morning, and this is arguably the most tragic story in the entire Tanakh. And maybe we'll talk about that debate. I don't know. What else could be more tragic than a civil war amongst the Jewish people? Debatable, maybe Cheder Meraglim, no uncertain level, and Cheder Egel as well. Destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, obviously. But this is definitely up there with tragic stories in the Torah, in Tanakh, and we'll have to really unpack it to understand what exactly is going on in this story. And it really takes its time. It's not as, you know, we don't jump into it, but really go through the flow of the story. And it's really the end of Sefer Shoftim, which concludes a Sefer on a very, very dark note, regardless of where this actually happens. Achlokas, whether this story happened at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, after the conquest of the land of Israel and the divvying of the land, or it happened right now, right before Sefer Shmuel. So let us begin. Vayehi bayamim ahem, umelech ein b'Yisrael. Vayeish Levi gar, b'yarkasei Arfayim, v'yikach lo isha mipilegesh, mibeis Lechem Yehuda. So there is our refrain that we've had numerous times, especially in the last few prakim, that there is no king amongst the Jewish people. Melech Ein B'Yisrael. Sometimes the Navi says it as Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Here it's a little bit different. It's Melech Ein B'Yisrael. There's no king amongst the Jewish people. And this reflects the notion that without strong leadership, there becomes anarchy and people just do whatever they think is right. And that could lead us down a very dark place. So there was a man, a Levi, who lived in Har Ephraim. Yarkesei Har Ephraim means he lived like the end of Har Ephraim. Vikach lo isha pilegesh, he took a pilegesh from Beis Lechem Yehuda. Let's just unpack this pasuk for a moment and discuss. So this is the second story in a row where we see a Levi being involved. The previous story, you had a Levi, and that Levi specifically went ahead and became the officer, right, the person in charge, the priest in charge of a house of Avodah Zarah in Jewish land, belonging to Jewish people. And now we're going to see another story with a Levi, of another fallen Levi. There is one minor opinion that says this is the same person, that it's Yehonatan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe, the grandson of Moshe. But most reject that approach, and they say this is another Stam Levi. Now, where is he from? He's from Har Ephraim. Why is that important? So what's fascinating is that I don't give this bracha on Friday nights, but there are those who have boys who give a bracha to their sons on Friday night, where they say, Yisimcha Elokim, Kephraim, Uchimanasha. And the Mefarshim are all troubled. Like, why is this? It's a classic Parshas Vayechi Dvar Torah. I think we've asked this question like three or four times in a row in our Parsha Shirim. And why is it that Ephraim and Manasseh is the bracha we give our children when Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov would work just fine? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda would work just fine. Like, we're taking two of Yosef's sons, which is Yaakov's grandsons. It's incongruous with like what we would expect the bracha to be, especially if you compare it to what the bracha we give the women. Which is an amazing bracha. So there are those that explain that why Menashe and Ephraim? Because our children are not going to grow up in the house of Yaakov, protected in like a ghetto in Eretz Yisrael with Yaakov, this holy figure, living, you know, just, you know, working the land and really living a very, very spiritual lifestyle. They're going to try to live a spiritual lifestyle, but sometimes they're going to be living in a Mitzrayim environment. they're going to be living in the exile. You're going to be living in a place where it's going to not be so easy to work on their spirituality, on their relationship to the Almighty. And who are the paradigms or the first people really in history that succeeded in this model? And that is Ephraim and Manasseh. They're the paradigms for people that have been successful in the exile, in Galus. So the children, the bracha we give our children is that even though you're going to face the Mitzrayims of the world, Ephraim and Manasseh left unscathed. So they were very strong spiritually. In fact, just to add to this notion of Manasseh and Ephraim, you know, at the end of Parshas, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Matos, two tribes come to Moshe and say, listen, Moshe, Eretz Yisrael sounds great. It's wonderful. But the truth is, we just conquered some land on the other side of the Jordan, the Transjordan area, and we would like to settle there. Which two tribes were that? Those? Which two tribes asked? That's Reuven and Gad. Reuven and Gad went and approached Moshe and said, this is what we want. So Moshe came back to them and said, yes, as long as you guys fight with the Jewish people, you know, the men come with us across the Jordan. And he added Reuven Gad, the Chatzi Sheva Menashe, and half a Sheva Menashe. And the Mepharshim were in trouble. Menashe wasn't part of the problem to begin with. They never asked for this. They never were involved in the request. Why did you throw them in there? So some answer that Menashe would be a very positive influence on Reuven and Gad. They, being children of Yosef, were very connected to the land of Israel. They experienced living outside of Israel and being very strong spiritually. So they would be role models for the other two tribes. So now you have a Levi, who the Leviim, they come from very, you know, significant stock, very chashuv family. All of them are treated very well. And this Levi was living in the Yarkesei Ephraim. He's living in the outskirts of Ephraim, which Ephraim is a very, you know, strong place, we would assume. And he marries, or he takes a Pilegesh from Beis Lechem Yehuda. From Beis Lechem Yehuda. She is from also a very significant place.
Rabbi.
One second, Nathan. She's okay. From Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda is also a very spiritually, you know, progressive, great place. Yehuda was a leader. All the malchus, all the leadership came from Shevet Yehuda. And we see that there is a decaying of a moral decay, even from the tops of our Shvatim. That's really what you see here in Pasuk Aleph. Yeah, Nathan, go ahead.
The tribe had its own Pilegesh? I don't understand that.
What? Sorry, ask again, what did you say?
This tribe had its own Pilegesh, or multiple Pilegesh?
So he had a Pilegesh.
He had one, but he got it from the tribe, from this Levi, you said.
Levi got a Pilegesh from Yehuda. The woman was from Yehuda.
From the tribe of Yehuda, right?
Yeah.
So I don't understand how a tribe would have a Pilegesh.
How, who would have a Pilegesh?
A tribe. A Shevet would have a Pilegesh. Is she official Pilegesh, or just happened to be, or?
No, so let's just go into that for a moment. What is a Pilegesh? You've heard this term thrown out a lot, you know? What's a Pilegesh? So the word Pilegesh, there are those that argue, come from the word, it's like an Aramaic word, Palga Isha. Palga means half, Isha's wife. So it could mean half wife. The Gemara Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Ksuvos, writes It's machlokes what exactly a pilegesh is versus a wife. Reb Meir writes that a wife has a ksuva, and a ksuva protects the woman monetarily, and a pilegesh does not have a ksuva. Rav Yehuda argues no. Rav Yehuda says that a pilegesh also has a ksuva, but a wife has more. What might be more? Might be share ksus ve'ona. In the ksuva itself writes that a Jewish man is obligated to his wife, share ksus ve'ona, clothing, a place, a home, you know, someone to protect her, and time together. So there's responsibilities from the man to the woman. And Rabbi Yehuda argue about the details of what exactly the responsibilities are, but the responsibilities are less. This woman doesn't have as much legal protection, we would say, as a full wife. The Gemara and the Bavli, the Bavli writes that maybe she has, she has a ksuba, but she doesn't have kiddushin. She doesn't have like part of the marriage ceremony. Maybe she doesn't have a ksuba and a kiddushin. Different, maybe, you know, either way, she's like a quasi wife. She's not a full wife. You know, this is something that fascinatingly or historically, there was one rabbi that wanted to bring this back. He thought this would help more women get married. Maybe this would help with other things. His name was Yaakov Emden, and he was completely, utterly rejected. It was rejected across the board throughout history. It did not take water from everybody. It doesn't apply today. Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, I'm going to pull it up over here. The Rambam writes that this really, I think this is where the Rambam is. Yeah, good. A little bit.
Well, Rabbi, a pelegesh is nothing like a zona.
No, it's different. No.
Okay.
No. The Rambam writes over here. Here in Perek Dalet of the laws of Malachim, the laws of kings and wars, the Rambam is talking about what a king gets. So the Rambam writes, a king can marry many women and many pilagshim. Nashim iksuva kiddushin. Women, he has to marry with a formal ceremony, kiddushin, and with a ksuva. Responsibilities. Upilakshim belok suvalokidusha. Elabiyichodovan kona usom materasal. All he needs to do in order to make someone his pilagesh is to have yichud. You know, that's part of a wedding, is the yichud room. The yichud room is X amount of time, seven. Maybe you didn't have to use 7 minutes. 7 to 9 minutes. It's across the poskim. That's the gamut usually. Maybe some say a little bit more. I don't think anyone says less than seven. And they need to be together in that room. And that is Kona. Bilvad Kona Usa Umiterislo. And once he does that, he can be with her intimately in a halakhically permissible way. The Avalahedjo, Asar Bipilagesh, Elabama Ivriya, Bilvad Acharyin. The Rambam writes here, the Pilagesh is not for the average person. The average person is not allowed to have a pilegesh. Pilegesh is a concept that is specifically used for kings. Right? So the Rambam has a unique opinion. Many disagree with the Rambam over here. But the Rambam himself writes, it only applies to kings and not to anybody else. Why would a Pelegish, a woman want to be Pelegish? Maybe back then the power struggle between men and women was much more on the men's side. Women had very little say. They didn't have any way or means to make money. Very few women worked, if any, at all. It was a men's society. And this was a way within halacha to allow more women to be supportive. And responsibilities were sparse. And clearly, it's something that has not been accepted for the past 2,000, etc. years within halacha. That's when we say a pilegesh, this is what we mean. You know, to the extent today that we're so concerned about this relationship dynamic, that the Shulchan Aruch writes that a couple, right, should not be living together without proper kiddushin. Besides for any other issues related to this, there is a concern here, right? There's a concern here that this would create Pelegesh society and Pelegesh mentality, which is something that we want to avoid across the board, right? Across the board. So this is the relationship that we are entering right now. You have a man and a woman, a guy, a Levi, who has a Pelegesh from Beis Lechem Yehuda. Okay? Now what happens? What happens? The Tizna Alav Pilaksho, the Telech Meito El Beis Avi. Now, I want everyone to look at this pasuk. I'm going to take away the English because it will be confusing. But Tizna Alav Pilaksho, the Telech Meito El Beis Avi, El Beis Lechem Yehuda, Hisham Yamim Arba'ach Hadashim. So, what does this pasuk mean? The Tizna Alav Pilaksho. What did his Pelegesh do to him? Or do? What does the word Vitizne mean? Where does the word Znus come from? What does that word mean? Nathan, you just said it. Zona. What's a Zona?
Prostitute.
A prostitute. So the Radak over here says, what did she do? She committed adultery, right? She committed adultery. She slept with another man. Batelech mito al beis avia. She left him, and she went home to Beis Lechem Yehuda. Batisham, and she was there. How long was she there for? Batisham yamim arba chadashim. Not clear. Either a year and 4 months, or just 4 months. Not clear how to read that pasuk. Where the word yamim is doing here, but telach meito al beis aviha al beis lachem Yehuda. The pasuk should have said she went to Beis Lechem Yehuda, to her father's house, not to her father's house, to Beis Lechem Yehuda, which could imply here that really her father didn't necessarily want her to come back home, and we'll see that her father liked this guy, and he was not in favor of her doing this. Now, although that is maybe the simple meaning of this pasuk, that she was with somebody else, and he, maybe was in the right, maybe he kicked her out, maybe she ran away. Now, the next pasuk does not necessarily fit with this understanding. Vayakam isha vayelech acharah. The husband got up and went to go get her. Again, 4 months later, a year and 4 months later, he got up and he went to go to Beis Lechem to find her. L'daber aliba, l'hashiva, to talk to her emotionally, romantically, and bring her back. V'na'aro imo, and he brought someone with him to help him. Not about regarding the romantic part, but just help. You know, people need other helpers to travel. Must have been a long way to travel. Zitzemen chamorim. And he brought donkeys with him, chamorim, plural, meaning he intended to bring her back. And that's why he brought multiple donkeys. But the father, right, the father-in-law here, he was waiting outside, right? And he was so excited to see the son-in-law, or the half-son-in-law, if you understand it that way. So Mefarshim here are troubled with, if this was in fact Nus, then why is he the one going to her? Is, meaning, maybe he still wants her back, even though she did this, and he wants to show that he wants to overlook it or go past it, or go to therapy together, whatever it might be. Or maybe the tizna here doesn't mean what it means everywhere else in Chazal. The tizna doesn't mean znus, it means adultery, but the word zana means to turn away from. But tizna ala pilak show, the way most mefarshim understand this pasuk here, they understand it like the English here translates. So I took it away for a minute. But, right, his concubine, his pilagesh, deserted him. She left him. Zansa mi beso el hachutz. Zana means to go away from. You know, and if it meant that she actually was with another man, she had an affair, it should have said, the pasuk should have said, "Tizna me'alaf," that she deserted from him, right? But that's not what, "Tizna alaf," that she was zanaf him, his pilegesh, which implies that something else was going on here, that she left him. And the pasuk's almost placing the blame on him. So what exactly happened over here in this story that caused this to happen? So the Gemara in Gittin fills in the blank. The Gemara in Gittin, and if you see what I'm doing here on the screen, you can see how amazing Safaria, which is the website we're using, is in terms of navigating all this. I have it on my notes here, but the Gemara says the following. Va'od ha-rav Yasar, who ask him Maria Yadi Dechsev. So there was a discussion here in the Gemara. We don't have to go into that. But the record of Machlokas now, exactly what happened. The Tizna la Pilaksha, right? She went away from him. Why? Rav Evyasar Amar, Zvuv Matzala. Rav Yonasan Amar, Nima Matzala. Rav Evyasar says that one night for dinner, he came home and she made him a beautiful, wonderful dinner. And he found a fly in the food. She was responsible, right? She made the food. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, it wasn't a fly. It was a nima. Nima in Aramaic is a hair. The Ashkeche, now the Gemara continues. It's a fascinating one. Rabbi Yasar le'Eliyahu. Rabbi Yasar found, who says the fly, found Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, he found Eliyahu Hanavi. And he asked Eliyahu, we have to go back to this Gemara later. And he asked Eliyahu the following question. Just imagine, you're in your house today, someone comes to the door and says, "I'm Eliyahu Hanavi, ask me whatever you want." So Rabbi Yasser asks Eliyahu the following question. "My ka'avid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does God do all day?" Fair question. No, I think that would be in our top 10. If I had to poll everybody, that would be a reasonable question. What does God do all day?
What?
I would say, when you come in, when Mashiach, okay. But
what?
She says it's okay.
No, but instead of answering me, you'd...
Amrlei, Asik bepilegesh begiva. He is involved in pilegesh begiva. This is the story that we're going to see. Eventually, there's going to be a civil war and other things are going to happen. I don't want to give it away. Umaykamar, right? And what is he saying about the story of Pelagish Begiva? Amar Le, Ev Yasar Bini Kahu Omer, Yonasan Bini Kahu Omer. Rabbi God, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Melech Malchei Malchim, the King of all kings, is teaching and learning what your opinions about what happened here. about why she left him. So Amar Lei, Rav Yosef says to Eliyahu Navi, Nika Sveika Kami Shemayim, God forbid, God doesn't know what happens. Amar Lei, Eliyahu says to him, Elu Velu Divilukim Chayim. You're both right. You're both right. Hainzvov Matzav, Lohikbid, Nima Matzav Hikbid. First, he found the fly, didn't bother him too much. And then he found the hair, and he went nuts. Listen, Amar Rav Yehuda Zvov Bekara, Vinima Ba'oso Makom. He found the fly in the food. It bothered him a little bit. He got over it. He found this, and he found the Nima in her Oso Makom when they were being intimate. And that made him crazy. Abosa Makom. Zvub mi yususa v'nima sakanta. He said it's dangerous for there to be a hair in that place. Dharmi idi v'idi v'ka'ara zvub matza zvub unsa v'nima pshusa. Other opinion is a zvub could fly in on its own. You're not responsible. But a hair in the food, that's your responsibility. And what happened? He yelled at her. He abused her. I don't know, physically, emotionally, verbally. Amar of Chizda. And the Gemara says, based on this, La'olam al yatil adam ema yisera b'sof beiso. No one should ever exert anger in one's house. Fear in one's house. Cherei pilegesh begiva hita aleha baidla ema yisera. This all started from the husband exacting anger on his wife, right? And from there, thousands, tens of thousands of Jews were killed. And the Gemara says, Am Rav Yudam Rav, Kolamato Ema Yisera B'Soch Beso, anybody that brings this feelings of fear and Ema and dread into one's home causes the three big Averos. Bali Day, Shalosh Averos, Gila Rayosh Vichos Damim. Sorry, not the big three, but big three. Gila Rayosh Vichos Damim, Michol Shams. And Abba Rabba Barachana had the Ami Rabbanan, and that's why the rabbi said, Starich Adam Lomar B'Soch Beso Erev Shabbos, Im Chashecha. Right? This is a Mishnah. We read this every single week. Not the Gemara part, you'll see in a second. You have to remind your house every Erev Shabbos of three things. Yisartem. Back then, if you had a salad for Shabbos that you just pulled out of the cucumber, you just pulled out. You had to do Meiser on it. And if you didn't, the food wouldn't be kosher. So make sure you did Meiser on everything. Eravtem. Did you do an Erev Chatzeros on this so we can carry from our neighbor's house to our house? My Erev Chatzeros is in the background. Don't worry about it. It's right there. The matzah is right up there for the whole town. We're good to go. Gidliku. And he goes in there, and did you light the candles? So that's a husband is supposed to remind the house about these three things every week. And then the Gemara says the following. The Gemara continues and says, sorry, Tarech Limimrinu Vinichusa. You have to say it calmly. And if you can't say it calmly, don't say it. At all. Things that are said calmly are accepted. It's not said calmly. Maybe they're going to follow you and they're going to listen to you, but they're eventually going to come resentful and they're going to have a house full of fear. It's unhealthy. It's dangerous. So the Gemara says here, right? All right, back to our story. It's a very powerful Gemara. We'll have to talk more about what in the world is God doing, learning the story of Pilegesh Begiva every day? Or at that moment, why was Hashem learning up the story? What does that mean for us? That we need to get back to as we continue to learn about Pilegesh Begiva and exactly what happened. And why would Hashem be learning that story? Now, so it's clear here that she left him because he was a nut. He was somebody that was abusive. He was somebody that expressed a tremendous amount of fear in her. She ran away. And now he's coming back to get her. He wants to bring her back in a very meaningful way. Maybe he really wants, you know, he went to anger management and he really wants to bring her back. So good. Pasuk Dalid, Ve'achazek bo chosno, avian ara. Father-in-law likes him, right? He's happy with him. He brings him into the house and says, stay with me for 3 days. They get drunk and they hang out together. On the fourth day, he wakes up early in the morning.
Where are you going?
Okay. The fourth day he wakes up and he says, okay, we got to go. Father-in-law says, nah, where are you going? Come sit down. Let's eat a little bit. And then you'll go. But what happens? They sit down, they eat together.
I'll tell you. Call me.
Please notice that the woman's not involved in any of this, right? A father-in-law really likes a son-in-law. They eat, they drink. He gets him drunk again, and he goes to sleep. And they're still, he says, stay here another night. What's the big deal? And he urges them, come on, come on, come on, stay over it. We're having a good time together. Come on, I like you. I like when you're around. Right, good guy. Nope, they stay. Now it's the day five. It's already like 2 days later than he wanted to leave. He wakes up early in the morning. He says, let's go, let's pack up the bags again. Let's get out of here. He says, no, come sit, have breakfast. And you'll come have a bite and you'll, you know, and they ended up eating until the afternoon. And then we got to go. Notice here, one thing changed, that he didn't drink, right? He didn't drink. That would be, can't drink and drive, obviously. So once he started drinking, he couldn't get on his donkey. Get pulled over. So Vayakam Isha Lachas Hu Pilak Show Bin Aro Vayomer Lochosno Avianara. Kinena Rafahayom La Arov. This is day five. The father says to him, why are you going now? It's so dark outside. It's getting dark. Fanahayom Linuna Hinena Khanosayom Linpo Vayitav Levavcha. And you'll it'll be good for you. Tomorrow morning, you'll wake up early and you'll get a good day's journey in and you'll have the full day to travel. Otherwise, I'm nervous it's going to happen. But at this point, Veloha Avaha Ish Lalun, he said, I'm not staying another night. I'm not staying another night. Taking my Pilagesh, your daughter, and we're going back home. It's enough already. And they travel, and with this pasuk. They travel to Yevus, which is Yerushalayim. They go to find a place within Yevus, which is Yerushalayim. Why is Yevus called Yerushalayim? Because the Yevusim lived there. We did not take everyone out of the lands that they lived in when we were conquering the land. And we'll see, David had to get the Yevusim out of Yerushalayim. But they lived there, so it was called Yevus. So he traveled there. He traveled near Yevus in that vicinity of Yerushalayim, and they found a place to spend the night. We'll stop there next week, next Monday, Bezrat Hashem, we will continue with this, the narrative, the story of Pilagish Begiva, and we'll continue to unpack its message for us.
Have a good day.
Everybody.